Good morning, church. Has been a long time, and I'm happy to be in your midst. Happy to spend time with the saints together in communion. Happy to spend time where the Holy Spirit is present. As I said, the title of the sermon for this morning, this Sabbath day, is Time is Running Out. And I don't know how you have watched the TV the previous weeks, how you have read the newspapers, but we live in pretty confusing times. And if I talk about confusing, it's literally ununderstandable what is happening right now in the world. You see the war in the Middle East, in Syria, getting out of hand. Millions of refugees, and a lot of them coming to Europe. And Europe doesn't know how to deal with refugees. And now, in the last couple of days, Russia has joined the fight. And now people on the internet are shouting, are we heading for a third world war? And in the meantime, besides all those problems in the Middle East, we have to deal with our economic problems. We have to deal with climate problems. And last but not least, our society has to deal with social problems. It is just as what Jesus has said on the Mount of Olives when the disciples asked, when is the sign of your coming? And in Luke 21, there's a pretty well-known passage, Luke 21, verse 25. There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Verse 26. Men's hearts are failing for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on, and I would say over the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. We see it right now at this moment. The distress of nations. People all around the world, in government buildings, civil servants, special agencies, thinking about how we can solve the problems for this world. What kind of solutions are there? Do we have time to solve all these problems? And we all know the list of Matthew 24. Where it says that people shall hear of rumors of wars. Nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdoms. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes. We see it all around us. But for some kind of strange way, people are unmoved. Yeah, they are moved by the things they're seeing, but the reaction to what they see is not what we might think if something would happen. It seems that people are occupied, or let me say it otherwise. It looks like people are falling asleep. Yes, something happens and they wake up behind their TV screens and say, oh, something in the world is going wrong. And then when the 8 o'clock news finishes and the commercial starts, people slowly doze off into a comatose state. What is happening with this world? If Jesus, when you see all these things happen, the end is near. And it seems like the reaction of the world is, when you see all these things happen, doze off into a cozy sleep and wait until a new day. We see things happen which we have read in Bible prophecy, which we have read in the spirit of prophecy, we see things happening right now. People are laughing about those things that Sister White has written in numerous books, especially in First Testimonies and in The Great Controversy. Those things will never happen. Sunday laws, they will never happen. Persecution, it will never happen. And the only thing you have to do right now is to take your remote control, put on your TV, and you see things happening right now. A couple of weeks ago, when everybody was very excited of what would happen when the Pope of Rome, Pope Francis, would come to America and will speak against before the US Congress, the Parliament of the United States of America. What would he say? And a lot of people were anxious. Would he say something about a national Sunday law? Would he declare something that we would know? Well, prophecy is about to come out. Well, he has spoken several things, but a clear-cut decision on the national Sunday law hasn't been spoken. And what you notice, especially in the social media and Facebook and the internet, you see a whole lot of questions. What were they going to say? And then when he said nothing, it goes off like nothing has happened at all. But the faithful student of God's word notice something. The faithful student of this world sees very clearly that what has been said in the world has come to pass. You know, the disciples walked 3.5 years with Jesus. They saw him do miracles, raise people from the dead, multiply the bread and the fishes. But the realization came after his crucifixion, after he stood up after 3 days, and when they studied the Bible and received the early rain. The question for us is, how is it with our realization of the things we have read in the spirit of prophecy, the things we have read in Bible prophecy? Do we realize that things has come to pass? We all know, at least a lot of you know, the story about King Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible book of Daniel. We all remember Daniel 2, had the large statue, and the dream that he couldn't understand, he couldn't remember, and he couldn't explain, but Daniel could. And after Daniel explained what the dream meant, then King Nebuchadnezzar realized, and praised God. And then in Daniel 3, he forgot all about it, makes a statue, everybody was forced to bow, except for the 3 Hebrew friends of Daniel. We put in the fiery oven, and what happened? When nothing happened with those 3 Hebrew boys, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise the God of heaven." Realization. And then he dozed off again. He denied what God has done in his life, and he started eating grass until he realized what God was doing in his life and the lives of many people around him. It is all about realization. And the one person who didn't realize, Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 5, he noticed that time ran out when he didn't use the attributes of the holy temple on the right way. The question for us is, Do we realize in what kind of situation in time we are now? Because if you realize something, you will act accordingly. If you know that it takes 3 years for something to grow, you wouldn't look the next week if it is already finished, because you know it takes 3 years. But if you know that things will happen soon, wouldn't you wait 3 years? Or you would act differently? Samson, you know, the strong guy with long hairs, very strong. And then a woman came into his life, Delilah. Beautiful woman, bad traits. And Samson was deceived and his hair was cut. Realization, but too late. He gotten the attributes of God to do the things that God has asked, and by some kind of strange act, he wasn't attentive, and when it happened, he realized, oh, I did something wrong. You could also realize things too late. We live in a time that we are in a danger that we will realize things, the things that God has shown you and me, and we realize about our predicament too late. 14 years and almost a month ago, 9/11/2001, the date that the planes flew into the World Trade Center and in the defense building in Washington. And a lot of people saw that as a realization of prophecy. Many people went back to church. The church was packed. Everybody wanted to know what plan has God for this world. And it was 2 weeks later, and people who in masses drove to the church, left the church. They realized that something was different about this world, but it only took a short time of their attention span, and they went right back to their habits, right back to their condition as it was before 9/11. It's just like with the health message. When my wife, Elma, and I go around Holland and we talk about living healthy, and we talk about that people should live healthier, people are thankful and they listen. And then 1 week later, they go back to their old traits and habits. Realization, but only for a short time. One of the stories that also was going around on the internet was Ben Carson. I don't know if you know the particular person, but he's a neurosurgeon. He's a well-known neurosurgeon. He's an Adventist. And he is momentarily running for president candidate for the Republican Party. And he is pretty high up there with Donald Trump and others. And this Ben Carson, he was criticized because how can you as a Seventh-day Adventist, knowing about biblical prophecy, can run for President of the United States if you know what America could do in the near future? Well, Ben Carson ran for president. And he was invited by one of his friends of the U.S. Congress to come and listen to the Pope, because the Pope was speaking before the U.S. Congress, and congressmen can invite people to sit on the balcony and listen to the speech. So Ben Carson was invited. And then he said something that made people a bit weary. Let me read what was said in the newspaper. This is what Ben Carson said. I appreciate the invitation from Congressman Mark Sanford, and I'm looking forward to hearing the thoughts of the holy leader, Ben Carson said. Well, I hear the in the church right now. And then when I was reading that, the first instance what came into my mind was, Riley, why didn't he think about Revelation 13, verse 3? And I saw one of his heads, and it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and the world wondered after the beast. And then I could say, well, I could say that about Ben Carson, but what about my own position? What about all those people who are looking to Ben Carson? Ben Carson, how could you say that? What is keeping me, what is keeping the church, what is keeping Seventh-day Adventists to not be deceived and wondered after something else? It's all about realization. Do we realize in what kind of situation we are right now? Many people have the thought of, if you can't beat them, join them. How can you beat a very lovely, friendly, caring person? No way. People are... I had a conversation yesterday on the internet with another Adventist, with another Christian, and he was very disturbed about how people were sharing things about the papal messages in America. And he said, well, let that man be, he's a friendly man, he drives in a Fiat Uno. And then I said to him, listen, there is something in the Bible about wandering after. If we don't realize what is being written in Scripture, you can easily be deceived. And a lot of people, they say they read Scripture, but it's not really reading, it is listening to how other people on the internet talk about Scripture. Everybody got their favorite friends on the internet, my favorite speaker. And they look up this YouTube and they look their favorite speaker and they listen to all the sermons. But if you would ask, could you name the passages where the speaker used in the service? They will look at you and like, what you're talking about? People hear people speaking, but they don't study for themselves. And if you don't go back to the Word, you would wander off with all kind of thoughts, all kind of peoples, and you would not arrive at where the Lord wants you to be arriving at. And you know, if you don't realize, you would be coming into a Samson predicament. We have the spirit of prophecy. But does somebody read it? Not a lot of people. We have the word from Scripture, 66 books. But does people read it? Not a lot of people. And then they say, how can people be deceived by the words that we can read about the image of the beast in Revelation 13? Making all signs of wonders and people drove off to all kind of places. People will realize if we are not careful too late. Where you cannot buy and you cannot sell. And people say, how do we come into this situation? From one day to another, not buying, not selling, what is this? What is it? It's nothing new. It has been written in Scripture. God gave prophecy so that we become prepared before things are about to happen. It seems that if we don't realize that we do not take the time to become steadfast in our faith. Jesus said on the Mount of Olives to the disciples, where you see all kinds of activities like he's mentioned in Matthew 24, if you don't see happen, then you know your redemption draws nigh and you should look above. The question you and I must be asking ourselves this Sabbath day, are we taking advice of what Paul has written to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a worker needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We all worry about if we could stand in times of difficulty. Those three Hebrew boys weren't thinking about times of difficulty when they saw the statue and then asking themselves if they would bow or wouldn't bow. They weren't thinking about the very oven. They were thinking about giving honor unto God. And giving honor unto God was meaning not bowing before that statue. And okay, one of those things that may conclude was the fiery oven. But they were standing because they were standing before God. A lot of people are asking, could I stand when a national Sunday law is being proclaimed? What would I do? What? That shouldn't be our question. Our question should be, are we standing for God's glory, whatever may be the situation for us? Last week, the shooting in Oregon at the school. Maybe some of you heard about that gunman who was a bit depressed and he shoot 9 youngsters in school. And one was a Seventh-day Adventist. And he was asking that gunman, when he opened the class door, who is a Christian? Well, to be honest, if I was sitting in a room and I would see somebody entering with a gun, before thinking about, I would first think, I'm going to save my life. But that man, he entered the room and he asked, who is a Christian? And a lot of youngsters just stand up, I'm a Christian. And moments later, they're not more here. They were standing for their faith. They were not thinking about a gunman that he could shoot. They were standing because I have not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. And us. What about us? Are we getting out of our sleepless, comatose state? Romans 13:11. And that, knowing the time, realization, that is now, it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is a salvation nearer than we believed. Now is nearer than when we believed. When you first heard about the prophetic messages, when you first read Great Controversy, you were astounded and impressed with what was written about how the future was going to be, how the Lord is going to save his people victoriously. And now we see the times happening that we first believed. And right now, a lot of people were thinking, well, if those words are so real, maybe I should took a few steps back. Because it's getting very hot under my shoes. The Bible says, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20, a call to the church, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, Believe in the Lord your God, so you be established. Believe in his prophets, so you shall prosper. It seems that believing in prophets is easier when you don't see the things happen. It looks like believing in the prophets becomes hard for a lot of people when the things what the prophets have spoken about is really happening. And now is the time closer than we have first believed. And we are so busy with our careers, climbing up the career ladder, getting the best positions in our corporate lives, that you can walk and say, well, look, I have become vice president of Sony Industrial. I have made it to the top. Nobody can become better than me. Look at what I have accomplished. We are so busy with ourselves that we don't have realization in what is happening all around us, so that we don't take the proper measures, and that we might be deceived and without even realizing it are wandering after something we said we would never wander ever. Because, like Paul has written to the church in Rome, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. If you got the realization of the times you are living in, then you need to act. What do you see, or what do you do when you see signs of church and state uniting? What do you do when you see the world entering the church? What will you do when you see everything that is security in your own personal life is crumbling all around you? You know, there are a few examples in the Bible of what people did when the world was crumbling all around them. Noah. Did Noah went into his room of his house and saying, Lord, it's so terrible out there. The whole world is crumbling. All those people are doing economic problems, social problems. Nobody is seeking you. What did Noah do? Build an ark and proclaim a message. A message for the world. What did Joshua do? When they entered the land of Canaan, his advice to the people was steadfast on faith. Joshua 24 verse 13, you know this text. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. For as me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. If everything crumbles around you, what do you do? Serve the Lord. Preach the message. What did Elijah say to all those prophets of Baal? If you want to follow Baal, you follow Baal. But if you want to follow God, follow God. And a lot of people are still in a comatose state. Because they are waiting. Oh, so many people are waiting until the national Sunday law is there before they're going to act and say, I am serving my God. It is now the time we should choose for Christ. It is now the time we should proclaim the message. It is now your time to look yourself in the mirror and saying, I am right with my God. And if I'm not right with my God, Lord, help me through your Spirit to do what you have said in your word. But yeah, falling asleep in your nice bed with a soft cushion, delightful, isn't it? There is nothing better than lying in your bed and falling to sleep, especially now the winter in Holland is coming. Just pull the blankets over you and doze off into a sleep. And many people are doing that, spiritually speaking. Oh, those problems in the world. Oh, Syria. Oh, refugees. Oh, economic problems. Oh, you know, I'm going to take my blanket. I'm going to pull it right over me. And when I'm laying in my bed, I'm going to sing songs and say that I'm happy knowing the Lord. I believe God is asking something else to do for us. Paul has written to the church in Colossians the following. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which we are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affection, your desire, your wishes, your longings, your understanding on the things where? Above. Not on the things of earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ in God. When Christ, who is our lives, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. Look for the things that are above with Christ. There our affection, there our hope, there our understanding should be. Not into a comatose state. A lot of other people are doing something differently. They are not in a comatose state, but they are looking for something exciting. They want exciting messages. Something new, something daring, something that is out of this world. Some people know, you ever heard about the Hebrew code? Some people take the Hebrew text of the Bible and they lay a mathematical test over it, and then they will take certain text and words and make all kind of prophetic predictions. Totally unscriptural, totally unbiblical, but there are people who are doing it. I've spoken a couple of weeks ago with a man. I admire him very much. He knows the spirit of prophecy. He can quote, I can do it, but he can quote page numbers and books and everything is great. And he can explain the most wonderful prophecies and things that other people have never seen do. Wonderful. And a couple of weeks ago, I received a letter of one of his Bible students. And the person was very distressed. Right? The wonderful preacher, he's not coming to our church anymore. He doesn't want to teach anymore. And I said, what is happening? Here is somebody who knows the spirit of prophecy. He knows the Bible. He can explain it very beautifully. People were in droves coming to his lectures. And then he said, I am not coming anymore. I want to study strange fire. He wants to have all kind of new understandings of the Bible, which is not based on scripture itself. Some people are in a comatose state and they don't study the Bible at all. Some people take the word of God and looking for things that are not written therein. Why are people not content with I hope I could say it, but why are people not content with old paths? Let me say it differently. Why are people content with all kinds of new stuff? Why do people seek for, oh, if the sea can become purple, it's wonderful. If the sea becomes purple, you're going to say, that's wrong, sea has to be blue, not purple. So if the Bible people say, you should read the Bible if it is like purple, then you should say, no, not God's word. It seems that people like new stuff. The Bible says the following in Jeremiah 6:16. Thus said the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, enjoy pink sea. Enjoy red sea. They don't say, enjoy how sea should be blue. Why are people saying, read the Bible green, read the Bible purple, but not the way it is written therein? And there is a danger. There is such a danger of not looking towards God in the way He has directed in God's Word. If there is any time in the last 2,000 years since Jesus has walked upon this earth to be ever sticked, glued, tied, bounded with the Word of God, it's now. Amen. I'm not talking about tomorrow, I'm talking about now. We don't know the exact moment and time Christ shall come. But we can see the signs. And when you see the signs and you realize it, we yet need to act. Because if you don't act, you will get a Samson problem. Realization after the fact happened. And you won't be... It is terrible. It's the only word I can use. It is terrible if you would wake up one of these mornings and notice that when you go to the Albert Heijn or the Jumbo and you stand before the cash register and they say, hey, you are so Sabbath keeper. Yeah, what's wrong with that? Well, you're not allowed to pay your groceries here. What? Who did that? Who decided? What is this? And then the person behind the cash register will say to you, haven't you known? And then I see that before. Then you see people scratch there behind their ear. I would like think like, I have heard some pastor saying that during a sermon once about a time that we should make a decision and we should, oh, the time is now, and then it's too late. Why do people don't realize things when things are happening right now? Just think about Lot. Lot, Genesis, and Lot and Abraham, and Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't a nice place. It was a terrible place. And you know what Lot did? Still went there, and Lot enjoyed. He didn't realize what kind of situation it was. He was enjoying himself. He was making a career. His daughters had good, beautiful husbands. His wife got all the jewelry she needs and more. If you just walk into the closet of the wife of Lot, you will see the nicest shoes, the best dresses, and she had the time of her life. Until two angels appeared and says, you need to get out. And Lot had the Samson experience. What? Me? Here? From here? Why? Tell me, explain. The city is about to be turned. And here's somebody arguing, should I stay or should I go? It seems that we are in a kind of a Sodom, Lot, Samson situation. The question is, are our eyes really fixed on Jesus? We all know, as good Bible students, that the judgment starts in the house of God. We as Adventists believe that the coming of a national Sunday law starting in America will be a changing, life-changing event, especially for those who want to be faithful towards the Word of God. But we shouldn't wait, as I said before. We should make our choice now. Now we should remain steadfast. Now we should focus us on the Word of God. And if it says in God's Word that judgment starts at the house within the house of God, that means that we should take a good, hard look at our own situation, on the situation of our church. It is time for discernment. It is time to realize we are in a Laodicean state. We are naked. We are poor. We are wretched. We need somebody who can change us around. We need to buy something, put on something, acquire something. And if you don't know from the Word by whom you should buy, should get, should receive, then you would easily go to the wrong side. We should buy from Christ. We should buy from Christ. So what do we do when we are cast forth in situation of darkness and we are advised by Paul to put on the armor of light? What should we do with our time? Paul said, walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. This is a sermon on itself. But in short, making strife with your brother and sister in church because she stepped or he stepped on your toes, now is not the time. I'm sorry. It's not the time to argue about the color of the hair or the dress or whatever. It's time to focus and go back to the Word of God and let us reason together. You know what the first pioneers did? You all know that Seventh-day Adventists didn't start with a Sabbath. It was Seventh-day Baptists who came into a meeting with Adventists and say, you're holding the wrong day, you should worship Sabbath instead of Sunday. You know what the pioneers did? We always did Sunday, but somebody come here with Sabbath. You know what they did? They did what the first disciples did in the upper room. They came together, they opened the Bible, they studied Scripture and followed Scripture. And that's why Seventh-day Adventists keep the seventh day. Because we went back to Scripture. If we don't want to be deceived in these last days, if you don't understand what is happening with the National Sunday and the Pope in America and in Rome and everything in this world, go back to Scripture. Instead of spending time about talking about your neighbor and brother and sister in church, about stepping on your toe, it's time to go with your brother and sister in church and kneel down and seek the Lord. Amen. David understands what he should do. The Lord doesn't want our nice theology. The Lord wants a broken and contrite heart. Give ourselves over towards Him so that He can do in us what we cannot do by ourselves. Isaiah heard from the Lord the following, Isaiah 1 verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings before mine eyes and cease to do evil. And learn, this is what the Lord says, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They shall be red like the crimson, they shall be as wool. The Lord wants our heart He wants that we realize in what kind of predicament we are. He wants us to acknowledge in what kind of situation we are and come to the realization that we are now closer in time to His second coming than ever before in human history. And He's looking for a church willing to accept Him when He comes on the clouds to this world to take us back home. It is time, because time is running out. It is time to make a choice, brothers and sisters. Paul ends this short passage in verse 14 the following. What we should need to do: put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on is meaning put on Christ righteousness. We are not saved by our own doing. I don't get more stars on my crown because I'm preaching this morning here. It's about our reliance on God and putting on His righteousness. Amen. And make no provision for the flesh. Meaning, don't take time for things that has no matters of eternity. Nor fulfilling the lust or your desire or your wanting for the things of this world. It is in Jesus' strength, by doing His will, that we can remain steadfast, even in the time when things are about to run out. Brothers and sisters, time to hold fast to our faith. Not for the world, but to stay fast in Christ. It is time to hold on to our faith, so that we can reach people who don't know about this message, who don't know what about to happen to this world. Time is running out. That's why now is the time, more than ever before, to focus on Christ. And that's why it's beautiful that this church has chosen a day of fasting and prayer. Because we should realize and act upon our focus should be on Christ, on Christ, on Christ, and nothing but on Christ. Our doctrines in Adventist Church are focused upon Christ. There is no time to dabble with darkness. Don't even think about it. It is no time to get so distracted by things that are happening in the church that you become so disillusioned that you say, you know, I'm going to take a time off from church and I will see them in a couple of years' time. It's no time. Now is the time to let the King of Glory in our lives. Who is the King of Glory, said David in Psalm 24. He, the King, is strong and mighty. Mighty in the battles He will fight for us. Who is the King of Glory? This Jesus Christ. He is the Lord Almighty. If we stand on His word, His truth, His righteousness, we don't have to be afraid for what the future